Curb your enthusiasm, people. Actually, I heard several years ago when I was in a slump, and I was thinking, I've had it. I heard a statistic that said something like 60 to 75% of all church starts fail in their first 5 years. And I thought, wow, you beat the odds. Woohoo! So we keep going. We just keep plugging along. God willing. So speaking of reminiscing and going back in time and remembering, let's go back to the mid-1980s, shall we? Back in the mid-80s, there was a big white delivery truck that looked like that one, except it had a storage space over the cab, maybe a little taller. Big white delivery truck with no markings on it, and it would tear through the streets of Eugene. And this truck was delivering furniture. And the roadside tree trimming we considered free service. Didn't charge for that. And the two young men driving that truck were on a time schedule. They had a boss that was very... He really wanted us to see how fast, I mean them, to see how fast they could get those deliveries done. And then one day, the corporate office ordered all the company vehicles to have the name of the company and a big logo on it and the phone number to the local store put on the trucks. And so it wasn't long after that that it was known to everybody who that big white truck belonged to. And pretty soon, the office started getting phone calls about this big white truck that was driving real fast through their neighborhoods. So, you know, tree limbs flying by. So I had to learn, I mean, they had to learn to drive slower, to take it easy, to, you know, when it says 25, it doesn't mean 45. And we had to get used to our deliveries taking a little bit longer. Having a truck with no markings on it gave us a measure of anonymity. We could drive however we wanted. We just had to watch for the cops, you know. And no one knew who we were. No one knew what company we worked for. And then when we got branded, everybody knew. And it was obvious because it was a big logo they put on there. Our driving habits did not bring honor or a good reputation to the company, to the store. And so we had to change that. We had some work to do. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. We've been talking these last several weeks about living as foreigners in the land of our birth, as strangers and aliens, itinerant workers here on assignment to perform an appointed job. This job, this calling, is the responsibility of all followers of Jesus Christ. And it's been laid out for us in the scriptures in a number of places. Most clearly and most well known is a passage that we refer to nowadays as the Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And then Acts chapter 1 verse 8 makes it clear that we will be witnesses as part of our calling. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We will be witnesses. We will either be a good witness or we will be a bad witness, but we will be a witness. John chapter 20, 21, the resurrected Jesus stands among the disciples and says wonderful words, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you, Jesus tells us. The Apostle Paul calls this position an ambassador for Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to read that passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So an ambassador, Paul calls us. An ambassador. An ambassador is a representative or an envoy of their homeland or its government or the president. They live in a foreign country, and although they enjoy some rights and privileges there, they are not citizens of that country. They maintain their citizenship in their home country. Their job as an ambassador is to represent and speak on behalf of their government in matters that concern both countries. So as always, when we look for examples, we look to Jesus. He's our ultimate example in all areas of our lives. Jesus is the ultimate ambassador. Jesus shows us most clearly what it means to be an ambassador. Jesus Christ was an ambassador of the Father, and he represented his Father here on earth, both in word and in deed. Jesus made it clear that he did nothing on his own, but only what God the Father told him to do. John 5:19, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So Jesus would only do what the Father told him to be doing. He wasn't out doing his own thing. He wasn't seeking his own will or his own pleasure or his own vocation in life. He was only doing what the Father told him to do. And also Jesus was speaking the words that the Father told him to speak. John 14:24, the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So Jesus spoke on behalf of God. And you see here that there's just in the Gospel of John, I have listed out here, if you want to write them down, or I can give them to you afterward, 10 other references, and there's more in John. This is just 10 other references in the Gospel of John where Jesus is saying, I'm not here for me, I'm here for the Father. It's all about God, it's not about me, it's the Father. That's the role of an ambassador. That's the role of an envoy. And Jesus, of course, is the perfect example of that. In the same way that Jesus Christ represented God the Father to a lost world, we, as ambassadors for Christ, represent Jesus in both our words and our deeds to that same lost world. As Drew read earlier in Colossians 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are acting as ambassadors of Jesus. Whether we're digging a ditch or serving the poor or talking to a neighbor about the politics of our day and the direction that our country is heading, we're supposed to be doing this, doing everything as ambassadors of Christ, representing the values and the interests of his kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The question is, are we doing that? It's so easy to get sucked into the political arguments and the cultural battles of the day. But we really need to stay focused on what is our job, what is our mission, what is Christ calling us to do as we interact with neighbors and co-workers and friends. We are ambassadors. You know, I love the way that the scriptures speak to us, and God speaks to us through his scriptures. And after I've been walking with Jesus for about 40 years now, and I still get those light bulb moments. Do you get those? I hope you do. These light bulb moments. And those times when the fog in my brain clears out and the word comes a little bit more alive and the flickering light gets a little brighter. Oh, look at this. I had one of those moments a few days ago. And some of you, when I share this, some of you will say, well, yeah, Pastor, hello. Welcome. Welcome to the party, Pastor. Have another cup of coffee. But have patience with me. This passage here at 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul is talking about a ministry of reconciliation, this isn't an evangelistic passage. This is not written to those who do not know God and are far away from God. When Paul says, in verse 20, when Paul says, we implore you, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, who is Paul talking to?
One of the churches.
He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church. Right? He's not talking to a bunch of godless heathens. He's talking to people who know Jesus. From reading 1 Corinthians, we're familiar with some of the problems the church in Corinth was experiencing. Nothing unusual for that day, for a bunch of brand new believers in Christ. They were having problems incorporating this new life in Christ. And we know that there were some false teachers challenging Paul's authority and his teachings. But Paul is calling some of these Christians in Corinth to be reconciled to God. In other words, it seems that some of those wacky Christians were driving their big white trucks far too fast through the neighborhoods and were bringing shame and dishonor to the name of Christ. Sometimes in a secular government, an ambassador needs to be recalled back to the home country because they're no longer representing well the interests of their home. Their conduct no longer reconciles with the government they are there to be representing. Being an ambassador for Christ and a part of his church, we need to be continually reconciling all that we say and all that we do with the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. As Drew read in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, we find a lot of mutual accountability, a lot of caring for one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, with each other and with God. And all this correcting and reproving and encouragement are to be done in love and in the name of Jesus. God, let's be honest, we're all just stumbling through this life. We all have faults. We all have our weaknesses. And if we can't hold each other up and encourage one another in our faults and our weaknesses, we're just going to watch each other trip and fall and point and laugh. That was one of the worst part about junior high PE class for me. I was so uncoordinated as a little twerp, I couldn't do anything. And they would just, kids, they would just point and laugh. I hated it. All right, but that's for next week's therapy session. It was bad. But that's not the body of Christ. That's not how we're supposed to help one another and encourage one another. I'm going to fall in some area. It'd be great if some brothers and sisters came and picked me up. You're going to fall in some area. It'd be great if some brothers and sisters came and picked you up. So come on, let's keep going. We're going to trip. Let's keep tripping. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight that is sensing the Spirit's call for reconciliation. How has your driving been, both metaphorically and literally speaking? Is your driving reflect Christ? Are you flying through life as if in an unmarked truck, wreaking havoc and ticking people off without a care in the world? Are your entertainment choices reflecting the values of the kingdom of heaven, your true home, or the kingdom of Babylon? What about your social media, your Facebook presence? Do you use social media to promote the values of Babylon or the values of the kingdom of heaven and the Savior who will one day come from there? As ambassadors, as representatives, we reflect Christ to the world. We carry his name with us wherever we go. Just like that big truck carried the store logo. And wherever we went, people knew who we were. They knew what we were doing. They knew what we were supposed to be doing and what we were not supposed to be doing. And we got called on it. As the world sees us, so they see Jesus. Have you heard the phrase, we are Jesus with skin on? Or the phrase, you may be the only Jesus someone will see. We are a witness for Christ, and our words and our deeds should show it. So the question, will we do this perfectly? I hesitate to say no. Though it may be theologically correct, I hesitate to say no because when we so easily admit that we can't be perfect, we just as easily, it becomes an excuse to lower the standard and just say, well, this is who I am. It's just things I say that just come out of my mouth. Really? Is that what God calls us to? Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. You seen that one? I hate that one. It's usually on a car that's driving way too fast, blurring through stop signs with the music too loud, coming to a neighborhood near you. Not perfect, just forgiven, too often is an excuse for living to please the flesh or just lazy spirituality. Well, this is who I am. God loves me. You need to accept me as I am. Yeah, well, okay. So you're not going to try? I'm Irish. Irish have a temper, right? Come on. We got to fight. This is what Irish people do. Really? Even converted Irish people? Really? Christ can't change that. I think he can. I think he wants to. Not perfect, just forgiven. I call that bumper sticker Christianity. I try to avoid, well, I call it BS Christianity. Bumper sticker. Bumper sticker. What did you think I was thinking of? See, the unconverted mind. We got to avoid bumper sticker Christianity. So the question, will we do this perfectly? I have an answer. I have an answer. We will do this in direct proportion to the extent that we allow the perfect Holy Spirit of God to do his perfect sanctifying work in our hearts. Let me say that again. Will we do this perfectly? We will do this in direct proportion to the extent that we allow the perfect Holy Spirit to do his perfect sanctifying work in our hearts. So if we're just going to say, well, this is who I am, and not allow the Spirit to work, then, and you got to bear the responsibility for the witness that you give. Remember, you will be a good witness or a bad witness. And you got to carry that. Paul is calling out. He is begging. We implore you. I'm begging you. Be reconciled to God. You know what that word means, reconciled? I understand it as a banking term. When at the end of the day, my aunt worked at a bank, and she at the end of the day she had her till, and she had to go through all the transactions of the day and reconcile with the money that was in her till. And there couldn't be one penny difference. And sometimes it was thousands of dollars, but it had to reconcile down to the penny. And if it was off by a penny, she would have to count all of it. She would have to find that penny. So if a bank is going to be so picky, what's a holy and perfect God going to do? We need to be reconciled with God. That's what Paul is calling us to. First and foremost, we get reconciled with God. We need to do that. And then we join up in this ministry of reconciliation, sharing this gospel of grace and of peace to those around us. And that's the good news that is found in these verses, is that it's not just for those of us in the church, it's for the whole world. God wants to reconcile the whole world down to the penny. Verse 19, in Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself. That's good news. He's not counting their trespasses, not counting their sins against them. That's good news. He's forgiven their sins. That's good news. You have good news to share with your friends and with your neighbors. Verse 21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What this is saying, our sin, okay, here's John. Sinner John, full of sin, evil in heart, rebel of God, enemy of God. Here's holy and righteous Jesus. All of my sin, the whole gross, vomitous bag full of junk, was transferred to pure, holy Christ. And he dies on the cross. In theology circles, my sin was imputed to Christ. Christ's holiness and righteousness is imputed to me. And he did that for the whole world. That's what the agony on the cross was. That's the suffering that he endured. Yeah, the scourging he took, the beatings he took, that was bad. But what he endured on the cross was out of this world. Your sin, your mess, your rebellion. That we might be righteous. That is good news. We are ambassadors for Christ. God is calling out to the world through us. We implore you, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are branded. We carry the name of Christ. Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Do your friends, co-workers, people at school, do they know that you are a Christian? If they do, you're driving a big white truck with a big logo on it. You're marked, and they're watching. They're really watching. This was... I remember years ago, I had a friend, a roommate, but long before I was married, a roommate, let's call him Carl. I don't know anybody named Carl. So this was Carl. Carl was kind of just kind of grumpy. And if you don't know Carl, Carl was just, bah. And... had another friend over who wasn't a Christian. Carl's a Christian. And we're sitting around talking. Carl walks in, walks through, and my friend says, "Hey, Carl, how's it going?" "Nah, good. Nah." Walks off, you know. And to us, it's just like, yeah, that's Carl. That's what he is. And this non-Christian turns to me and says, "I thought you Christians were supposed to be happy." I was floored. I was like, wow, they really are watching. They really are paying attention. We really do have a logo. And we need to be aware of how we drive through this life. Because we're not living for ourselves. You're looking at the notes, and I'm way off notes. I'm just freestyling now. There's nothing else. I got 5 minutes. I can't be the Holy Spirit for you, but if God is tapping on your heart, saying, "Hey, man, hey, woman, hey, sister, I'm talking to you. There's some pennies that are missing in your till. We're not quite adding up here. Let's get that right. Let's get that right. Let's reconcile. Let's do whatever we need to do to make sure we're walking right with God." Let's sing that song. "He became sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become his righteousness." What an incredible trade. And it's all in grace. We don't deserve that. You recognize that? We can't earn that. It's not something that we can conjure up in a religious church service or a ceremony. It's all God's grace poured out to us through Jesus Christ. He takes our sin, and we take his righteousness. It's beautiful. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Peace be with you this week. Be blessed.